Welcome to the Skeptics Church. Would you stand and worship with us? We're so glad you chose to come here today.
And, you know, I've been thinking about, like, how do I get people to want to get involved and invest in our young people? And I'm just going to throw it out there. We're going to be playing a form of dodgeball today. So if you want to hit a teenager, please join us in youth. But no, we have a great day planned. I'm super excited for today. We have the launch of our small groups, which is a very exciting thing in Discovery. We believe that small groups are an integral part of what we do. And we do have a short video about small groups that we do want to share with you this morning. So please turn your attention to the screens.
My name is Jason, and this is my wife, Monica. We're the Bradys. We have been a part of Discovery for the last 20 years or so, and for the majority of that time, we have been a part of small groups. Here are a few things that we enjoy about our small group. Number one, the chance to grow. Typically, what we do in our small group is break down John's message from Sunday, dive a little deeper, and learn from God's Word.
Number two, family. Our son Abel is 9 now, and he has been with our group forever since he was born. And we just love how it's such a family environment for our son and for all of us to grow together.
And lastly, the friendships. We all go through difficult times, and the friendships that we have fostered in our small groups have definitely helped us overcome some of life's troubles. Maybe you'll consider joining a small group too.
The thing I love, I think, most about the Brady story is they've been a part of small groups for like 20 years, right? That's really incredible. And I think about all the connections they've made over the course of those 20 years, how important that is. But for me, I'll be real honest, we've only been going to Discovery for like 2 years, right? So it's a little intimidating to come into a new space. But for us, small groups has been a place where we've been able to connect with people in a real way. So if you are a guest today, or if you're not a part of a small group, or if you are a part of a small group, we have a special connection card this morning. And it is a small group connection card. And if you're not a part of a small group, if you are a part of a small group, we would love to have you fill one of these out. It's a great way for us to connect with you. But if you are new today and you're like, man, these people seem weird, I'm not quite ready to jump into something like this, if you just like put down your information and put a big old question mark, that would give us enough information to be like, oh, maybe they want to try it, maybe not. And then maybe Pastor John would like call you and like try to get rope you in some way, because that's what we do. We rope people into things they don't want to do at Discovery. Hence why I'm on the stage. No, we love it here. We have a great morning set for us. We're going to have a great time of worship, a great great message. It's actually the last message in our series, so I'm very excited for it. But let's worship together, and let's pray for that time as we step back into it. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your heart for worship. We thank you that we come together in large groups and small groups, and the purpose of it all is to edify you, is to point back to you. You're the reason why we're here, the reason why we got up this morning. And I just thank you that we're here this morning in family and in community, and we get to spend time with each other and with you today. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keep light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keep light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. I worship you.
For your presence in this place. We thank you that you are a way maker. When we feel lost or broken or empty, God, you open those doors for us, God. Lord, I pray that this morning that we would just seek your face, that we would rest in your presence, Lord. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you know all things. We worship you this morning.
Never gonna let you never gonna let me down. It's not in your nature. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. Cause you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You never. Cause you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You are. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're good. You're good.
What is true about you, Father God, is that you never change. Father, even if your people do not cry out, the rocks will cry out that you are good. We live in a world that is filled with pain and heartache, and forgive us, for we assign some of the pain and heartache and sin to you and to your character, and it is not true. For you have been good before the beginning of time, and you will be good after time is completely wrapped up. Good the entire time. All that you do is good. Even in your judgment, even in your wrath, you are good. You are good. Father, this morning we stand here and we recognize that around the globe that there are some particular painful moments. Just south of us in Monterey, Father, another terrible event happened this morning, Father God. Families, lives, homes shattered by firing of another weapon. Father, forgive us that we live in a day and age where that has become something that no longer seems to shock the human experience. But I know it breaks the heart of God. Father God, even in that kind of mess in Monterey, California, we pray that your goodness will be seen and felt and experienced. Father, around the world today, there are bombs being dropped. There are children that are being abused. There's fear, Father, about the economy. But we as your people stand here in the midst of this kind of world, much like people have stood for 2,000 years, and we stand and we declare that, God, you are good, and that you are powerful, and you are working. You are working as you did yesterday. You are working today, and you will work tomorrow until you gather your people home. You are good, and you're working. And not only through the globe and the big global movements, you're working, God, in my life today. And even if we struggle to see it and feel it and experience it, we stand here by faith and we say, God, you are good. And we believe that you are going to complete what you have begun, just like you promised that you would do. So, Father God, over the next few minutes, as we sit and continue in worship by opening your word, we ask, I ask specifically, that you'd speak to a weary heart. You give some strength to some aching knees and aching backs. God, I pray that you might lift our eyes higher than the immediate and the urgent that seems to drown out the absolutely most important parts of life. And I pray that we might see you. And Father, do what you have done for 2,000 years. Take your people and let your people be your fragrance here on planet Earth. Let the will of heaven take place here in Tacoma, Pierce County in 2023, because you are living it out through your people, through us here. We're just regular people. We serve an extraordinary and supernaturally good God. May it be true in Jesus, we pray. As you're getting comfortable, I'm going to encourage you to open your Bible. We're going to be in the New Testament. We're in the beginning of Luke chapter 6. And some of you, this is your first time with us, so thank you for taking a risk and being with us there this morning. Some of you have been here 100 times, and so thank you for coming again. And yeah, do you believe God is good? All the time, right, Mercedes? You're good all the time. All the time. We've been in a series called Jumpstart. This is the last of that series. And we started 4 weeks ago. Some of you were here, not many of you, January 1, 2023. So I'm not going to have you raise your hands, but some of you are here on that very first Sunday Jumpstart. We started the brand new year, and I shared on that very first Sunday of this year, I shared one of my goals. And so, in fact, I even encouraged people. I said, I think you ought to set goals, even if you've never achieved one of the goals that you've set. Anybody feel that way sometimes? Like, I don't know, I give up, I don't feel like I ever, whether you've ever succeeded, I still think you should set goals. And I shared one of my goals, and so I'm not going to preach on goals today, but one of my goals I shared 4 weeks ago on January 1 is that I have a goal of this year in 2023, fostering faith. I want to stoke and encourage faith in Jesus' church, and I want to stoke faith in my circle, and I want to stoke faith in this community. And I don't know how someone like me can do that, but I feel it's necessary. Your faith journey, its strength, its courageous strength is necessary in 2023. Anybody even just a little amen for that? So I have made it a goal that I'm going to try to stoke faith. So this whole series has been about that. It's been trying to stoke, revitalize some faith. Because I know that in this room, it's filled with people of faith. But some of our faith, it seems like it's on life support. And so we're trying to do a little CPR this month on your faith. And we talked about some things that inhibit faith that we need to get rid of. I think on week one, I talked about some friends that aren't so friendly, some things that we keep with us that need to go. And we've talked about some things that we need to build into our life. Like last week, we talked about integrating life and integrating faith together and the necessity of that. So we talked about some things that inhibit. We talked about some things that we need. And today, we're going to talk about perhaps one of the most important things that we need to do in 2023 to have a vibrant faith. Now, before we go any further, I also shared on that day, it's why I have these cables up here, I introduced you to my car. So I have a car that this year turns 15. What's that party that we have when something turns 15? Yeah, quinceañera. I think we need to have quinceañera for my car this year. Yes, absolutely. She is coming of age. So she's 15 and she's still a good car. Amen, Tracy. Okay, yes. So stay with me here on this. So but to be fair, I asked you yesterday if it's a good car. In the car, you said yes, it's a good car. So it has a little problem. And thus this, I took this out of the back seat this morning and brought it in for you. We keep this handy. And I said on week one, I said, this car that's a good car has a little itsy bitsy problem, okay? And it has a leak. So, the leak is an electrical leak. And I shared that we have spent money, we have hired mechanics, people far smarter than me, and we keep kind of getting closer and closer, but I keep running out of money. And so, the truth is it's totally cool. It's fine. It's not a problem 90% of the time. But 10% of the time, it's a real problem, right? And, you know, honestly, jump-starting a car is not a big deal, right? I mean, like, it's a pretty simple thing to do. The problem is that we only realize we need to jump-start it when it's too late, and we need it right now, right? And so I shared on week one, I said that's so much like our faith. Like, we can have a leak in our faith, and it's no big deal, right? We can kind of navigate through life until all of a sudden we hit a wall. We hit a place in life where we need faith, and we need it now. Right? You guys with me? Like, that's when all of a sudden we're like, man, I'm all of a sudden in a crisis in my home, my marriage. I got a bad report from the doctor. I got a bad report about my kids. Whatever it happens, something in my work life, all of a sudden, boom, we hit the wall. And then we need faith, and we need it now. And we go to start it, and just it's click, 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 click. So you and I, our faith journey is much like my car. Now, I shared with you that it's not a big deal because if we do two things, one, we have a good battery, and number two, we practice good daily driving habits. It's never a problem. And I said that preaches, you know, like if we got a good power source, right, and we practice some good daily habits, this car runs every day. There's not a problem. And so at the heart of this daily driving habits, I'm just going to share it with you now. It's not super complicated. The heart of the daily driving habits, anybody want to take a guess? We just have to drive it. Okay, there's a few little things, but the heart of the daily driving habits is we just need to deploy this car in its unique design. I'm going to give you a little hint with a wink. You ought to write that down because we're going to come back to that all morning long. Should I wink again kind of weirdly? Okay. No. Okay. Jason, are you nodding back? Don't do that ever again. Okay. No close-up for live stream on that. Okay. No close-up for live stream. Okay. So here's the deal. That car was designed not to sit in a driveway or on the street or in a carport. That car was designed to be driven. And as long as that car is driven, it works absolutely fine. There's no problem. And it's the same thing for your life. You have a unique, you do. Like, if you're taking notes, I don't see anybody writing this down, but you have a unique design. You're not an accident. You're not just a biological blip, just happen to show up. You have been designed by the living God for this day, this hour, this moment. And until, listen carefully, until you are deployed in God's unique design for your life, you will struggle with a strong and vibrant faith. Now I want you to pick up with me in your Bible, Luke chapter 6. So again, if this is your first time with us, we love scripture here. The New Testament says that all of scripture is God's breath, and that when we read God's word, he's breathing into us. And by the way, I'm absolutely convinced that whether or not it's the particular subject in which I'm preaching, that when we open up God's word, he will speak to you this morning. And so I, you're going to see people around you take notes, and I think you ought to take notes because maybe this morning some of the words that I talk about aren't going to be significant, but I promise you God's word will be significant to you and God will speak to you when we inhale his breath. Isn't that cool? So as a church, we're all about being in scripture. In fact, 2 weeks from today, by the way, little side note, 2 weeks from today, we're going to kick off a Bible reading challenge. And I'm praying for 100 people to join me this year in a Bible reading challenge. We're going to have some tools. There's a couple of books actually in the foyer on your way out. You can kind of look at them. I want you to think about it for a couple of weeks, because on the first week in February, I'm going to ask 100 of you to join me in a year-long Bible reading challenge. Okay, side note. That's a little side note, but just get ready, okay? So if you're not reading every day, I got a good thing for you to join me in. Okay, come back with me. So that was it. So the Bible, we walk through scripture together. So this series, Jumpstart, is part of a longer journey through the Gospel of Luke. We're in Luke chapter 5 and 6, and I shared with you last couple of weeks that this is a really specific and unique time in Jesus's ministry. These aren't just little sprinkles of different little stories. Right now in Luke 5 and 6, Jesus is assembling his world-shaping team. In fact, the verses right after what we read today is when Jesus finally appoints the 12 disciples. These two chapters are all about Jesus picking these two disciples, and Luke is telling us all the cool things, the significant life-changing moments that happened during this season. Okay, I got you the background. This is where we are. Jesus is getting ready to appoint his disciples. And Luke says, I want you to hear one other thing that happened just before he appointed the disciples that just shaped us forever. Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 1. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, and they're rubbing them in their hands, and then they'd eat the kernels. And there are some Pharisees that asked him, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? And then Jesus answered them, said, have you never read what Jesus did, that when he and his, you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry, they entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for the priest to eat, and also gave some to his companions. Then Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. This ticked them off a little bit. Okay, verse 6. On another Sabbath, Jesus went into the synagogue and was teaching. And I want you to think, synagogue is a faith gathering, meant to be a faith gathering, similar to a church. Different, very different, but in some ways very similar. Okay. So on the Sabbath, Jesus went into this faith gathering and was teaching. And a man was there whose right hand was shriveled up. And the Pharisees and the teachers of law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he said to the man with the shriveled hand, get up and stand in front of everyone. So he got up and he stood there. Then Jesus asked them all, he said, I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save a life or destroy it? And then he looked around at them all. And then to the man, and he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And the man did so, and his hand was completely restored. Verse 11 says, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were furious, and they began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. Let's pause right there. There is a deep problem in the faith community. It's a deep, insidious problem that, by the way, we share with all of humanity. And that is that we have come to believe that the human experience is about what you think and about what you know, and mostly about what you do, not do. And we spend an inordinate amount of time making sure that we don't, nor does anybody else do, the wrong things, or even more specifically, do the right things the wrong way. We spend a lot of time on that. It's an insidious problem in the human experience. You know it, you've experienced it yourself. If you've ever tried to lose a few pounds, if you have ever said, I'm going to get healthy in 2023, and you decide to change your eating habits or change your routine, change your workout, and you let it out, you just make the mistake of telling your closest friend, I'd like to lose 7.5 pounds, the weirdest thing takes place. All of a sudden, out from the weeds, and I mean the weeds, out from the weeds come people who say, you're doing it wrong. Like, it doesn't, listen friends, it doesn't matter what diet you come up with, you're going to have a friend that tells you you're doing it wrong. It doesn't matter what workout plan you come up with, someone's going to tell you you're doing it wrong. God forbid someday you decide you're going to buy a new car or buy a new house or remodel your house. All of a sudden, people come up out of the weeds and tell you you're going to do it. I could have got you a better deal. My uncle has a faster car. I got a friend who builds bigger and better and faster houses than the one you've got. I don't know if they ever say faster, but it just sounded good coming out, right? I mean, have you ever been a part of a remodel project that somebody doesn't walk in and say, too bad you didn't do it my way? Anybody? Or worse yet, can you imagine? It happens all the time, friends. You have a problem with your kid. You get a bad report from school. You're struggling with your teenager. You're struggling with your marriage. You go see a therapist. You're seeing a counselor. You're trying to navigate all that stuff. Or God forbid, one of you gets sick. Inevitably, up from the weeds, there'll be people who will tell you that you're doing it wrong. It's not just a human problem. It is seeped into the heart of Jesus' church. Where we spend so much time worried that we're doing it wrong, or worse, that we're doing the right things the wrong way. And it's grown to epic proportions in the last 2 years, friends. It has so affected not just Discovery Community Church, but nearly every church on the planet. Something the enemy's used in the last 2 years, where we begin to worry all the time that we're in the wrong church, or we got the wrong pastor, or we got the wrong set of Christian friends, or we might be doing the wrong thing, believing the wrong things, or maybe we're just doing the right things in the wrong way. And you add in a little bit of that fear with a little dash of, man, I'm so busy. Or take that fear and you dash, you know, add a little bit of, you know, I'm going to be moving in a couple of years. Or with that fear, you mix in a little bit of, I don't think anybody needs me, and I can't make a difference. And all of a sudden, you have a recipe for a movement that no longer moves. Come on. So see what I'm saying? We've allowed some fear of failure, and this fear of doing the wrong things, the right things wrong. And you mix it in with our pace of life and our busyness and our insecurities. And I fear that in 2023, the church is becoming just like that same place that Jesus walked into 2,000 years ago. You see, Jesus walked in and his heart broke. That here in this gathering, this faith gathering, which was meant to be a flourishing place where not only God was glorified, but God's people were about God's business. Instead, they were fixated and focused on the wrong things. Amen? And I fear it's happening in you and I today. See, the truth is you and I have been designed by God with a specific purpose. And his intent for you specifically is to be deployed in that mission. The most important skill in your journey to have a vibrant faith is being deployed in the unique mission God has for you. You know, it's normal to want God's provision. And it's normal to want God to fix. It's a normal thing. But that's at the heart of what we call consumer religion. Is we sit on the sidelines waiting for God to provide and God to fix. When the way that God works is he works in our life when we are deployed in his mission. He still provides. In 2023, he still provides. He still fixes and heals and restores. He does it in the context of mission. Perhaps one of the most loved verses in your Bible. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It's a simple, small, short sentence in the heart of this beautiful message called the Sermon on the Mount. You know this. You probably remember your mom having this on a placard somewhere in the house. You've probably been in a wedding ceremony, or you've maybe got a card in the mail from a friend and it has Matthew 6:33 on it. Let me read it to you. Jesus says this: seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Jesus says, You weren't designed by God to sit on this on the side of the road, to be parked under a carport, to be parked in a garage. You were designed by God to be deployed in your unique mission. And when you are deployed in that mission, seeking the kingdom and the righteousness of God, you're working it into your life, you're deployed in your mission, it is then that all of these things are taken care of as well. You experience His provision, and you experience His provision. Listen, this is at the heart of, we have called this for 2,000 years, I think now, the Great Commission. Matthew says it's the last thing that Jesus said to His disciples. Recorded at the end of the book of Matthew, Jesus says, therefore, which means like, okay, you got all the rest of the gospel and my life. Like, you've been walking with me, disciples, for 3.5 years. Let me give you a tip, a clue. He says, now, go. Go make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that I commanded you. And then He says this, and certainly I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Do you want to experience His power and His presence? It's not just sitting on the sidelines waiting for God to do some sort of spectacular cool thing and you get the goosebumps up your arms and you get a wiggle in your giggle, right? No. It's about being engaged in the mission of God. Jesus says, that's where I will meet you. And so it's time for you and I, friends, to be deployed in the mission of God. And you have, listen carefully, I've said this several times, you have a uniquely designed mission of God. Paul writes it this way in Ephesians chapter 2. Let's read it. Is it up here? Can we have Ephesians 2:10 up here? He says, we, who's we, by the way? Yeah, everybody, just point one right there, okay? We, I am, you are. Not an accident. You're not a mistake. You walk around your entire life just so upset that your ears are so big, your nose is too small, you're too negative, you're too positive. You struggle with this, you struggle with that. You've been walking through your life with just this complex that the enemy has been driving down into you, that you're not enough. Paul says, no, it's absolutely the opposite. He says, we are God's, what's the word up there? Now, you don't use handiwork very much, but here's a better word that I think you use. Masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus, watch this, to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Long before you were born, God was in heaven and He thought of you. He knew everything about 2023, knew everything. He said, I need a Brad. I need a Dennis. I need a Stephanie. I need an Alicia. And He carefully, masterfully created you for this day and this hour. Not to sit on the sideline in fear of doing the wrong things or doing the right things the wrong way. He designed you to be deployed in the unique mission that God has for you. James says this, so don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. That's why I used the word insidious earlier this morning. Don't sit on the sideline and just be deceived. There's an insidious thing that the enemy wants to do here. He says instead, real simple, James 1, verse 22. You guys see this up there? Do. Everybody with me, ready? Do. Do what it says. A few verses later, he says simple, he says, religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this, Look after orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. James says, God wants you to be deployed in your uniquely designed mission. There are needs all around you. Just put it into action. So I want to talk about how to do that. And look, I only got a couple minutes. Isn't this stuff is so good. And it's so what you and I need in 2023. I'm going to give you three things. Because as I watch people, and I've wrestled myself with the question of, well, what? Anybody? Well, what? What do I do? What does God want me to do? And I want to be really clear. I think we overcomplicate this entire thing. I think the enemy loves to complicate this. So I'm going to give you three simple things. And I used my pastor power, and they all start with B, okay? And that's just a power I have. Every time I do three things, it's always the same letter. So this one's B. We haven't used B for a while. You guys ready?
Ready.
Okay, ready. Number one, build space for the mission in your life. Very first step, build space. Okay, verse 9 in Luke chapter 6, Jesus said to them, I ask you, what is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save our life or destroy it? What I believe flabbergasted Jesus with these people, and I want to believe that they were well-intentioned. But they had spent their life building walls that were prohibiting them from doing good. And Jesus is saying, it's no longer time for you to build walls. It's now time for you to take the walls down and build space. One of the greatest enemies to you living the mission that God has for you in your life is the lack of margin that you have in your life for the mission of God. And if you and I are going to be engaged in the mission that God has for us, step one is we need to build space. We need to build room for God to work. Now, honestly, three simple things within this first B. Number one, just start in your current schedule. I'm going to say current again. Start in your current schedule. Because I this is the game I've played. I've thought, you know what? I am going to be amazing one day. As soon as my wife lets me. Honestly, she has way too much stuff, and there's just going to be a day that she's not going to have that list, and then I'll be amazing. Or once I get a different job, I'll be amazing. Or, you know, once I get some better socks, I'll be amazing, right? You start imagining that this one day, like this perfect scenario, like if everything just lines up so, like I get this job that pays me full time, but only work like 20 hours a week. I know it's out there somewhere, you know, so we imagine this perfect scenario, but God wants you to start in not the perfect scenario, but in your current scenario. Say, God, how can I build a little bit of space? I said intentionally, a little bit of space right now. Can I add 15 minutes to my day? Can I find an hour in my current week? Can I find an hour in my current month to get engaged in what you might want me to do? Second is I need to build time in my day for interruptions. You know, far too often for many of us, we've gone at such a pace that people are no longer the mission. People are the interruption. And you and I, we must build space in our life for interruptions. In my experience, God works in the most miraculous ways, in the margins, in the interruptions, the places that you didn't expect, the person who needed just 5 minutes of your time, a client you didn't expect to bump into, a friend you didn't expect to meet, somebody that, one of your employees that's a challenge, but just this day has an open, soft heart. Do you have space in your life for the interruptions? Number three, I need to build some me time. Build in my me time some them time. Let me say that again. We need to build in some of our me time some them time. We've become so protective we work at such a pace of life and we're so tired. We all say it all the time. I just need a little bit of me time. And when we get that little bit of me time, we think it's going to be, I don't know, when your me time, maybe your me time's on Saturday. You get your Saturday, and all of a sudden, nope. Don't touch my Saturday. This is my me time. The whole family knows my me time. Like, if you touch my me time, I touch you, okay? You see what starts happening? Like, we get so, you know, Jesus over and over and over again invited his disciples to use some of their me time. You guys remember that moment when Jesus fed 5,000 people? I don't know if you remember the whole scenario, but the disciples have been working it, and they were tired. They were exhausted. They were ready. They were on their way to go have a retreat with Jesus. Wouldn't have that been cool? I mean, who wouldn't have liked to go on a retreat with Jesus? They were so excited and looking forward to it. P.S., they were also hungry, and they came up to Jesus, and they said, Jesus, okay, we've been doing this thing a long time now, plus all these people here, and they're getting hangry. Jesus, and they said this, Jesus, for the safety of all, would you send them home? You guys remember the beginning of the story? We only talk about the 5,000, how cool it was. And Jesus says, no. And they said, no, seriously. We don't have any food for them. And you know what Jesus asked? What do you have? And one of them had a little paper bag. We stole this from a kid, Jesus. They didn't steal it. He gave it to them, but I don't know. There might have been a little pressure there. I don't know. Okay, but there's just a couple of dried fish in here and a couple of dried loaves of bread. There are 5,000 plus people here, Jesus. And you know what Jesus said? That's good enough. Held his hand out. And in their me time, they gave over the last. And Jesus took that little paper bag and he held it. This is straight up. You can read it later. He holds it up to heaven and he says, thank you. Pass it out. And a miracle takes place. One of the reasons why you and I aren't engaged in the mission of God is we've stopped building space in our life for the movement of God. 2023, friends, we must build some margin in our current schedule for some interruptions and even use our me time for some them time. Let me go into number two again real quickly. Number two, if I'm going to be deployed in the unique mission that God has for me, I must believe. I must believe. Believe what? I'll read verse 7 and 8 again. It says, the Pharisees and the teachers of law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. Okay, this is kind of, it's not really humorous. It's sad. They've had people there this entire time with needs. And they've stopped believing that God could use them or do something in a person. And friends, this lack of belief is infecting you and I and in moving us to the sidelines. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, it says here, he did not do many miracles because they lacked faith. We must believe again that God can change people. Have you stopped believing that God can change people? That God can make a difference in your neighborhood, in your block, among your circle, in our city, in this broken environment? We must believe again that God can change people. And secondly, we must believe that God could even use me. That God could even use me. Old, tired, young, inexperienced, overly experienced. That God could use even me. You know, people that are deployed in the mission that God has for them, they cherish that. They hold on to that tightly, even when the world yells something completely opposite. They say, even on my worst day, encountering the worst kids, the worst teenagers, the worst coworkers, I still believe that God can change people. And sometimes you just have to hold on to it tight. And sometimes when you hear that message that, you know what, I'm just too small, I don't know enough, I'm too old, I've been here too long, I've not been here long enough, you say, no, I still believe that God could use even someone like me. If you and I are going to be deployed in our unique mission, we must continue to believe. Amen? And number three, last, and not super profound, but it starts with B. We must begin. Solomon writes this: if you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. God's ways are as mysterious as the pathway of the wind and as the manner in which a human spirit is infused into this little body of a baby while it's yet in its mother's womb. Just keep on sowing your seed, for you never know which will grow. Perhaps it all will. Solomon says you just need to begin, not tomorrow and not yesterday. Today. The Old Testament records a moment in the book of 1 Samuel where Samuel stumbles upon what I would call a worship service. It's a gathering where a man named Saul is trying to season his life with a little bit of worship. Season his work, his ministry, for he wants the blessing of God. However, he has not been obedient and deployed in the unique design mission that God has for him. And the prophet Samuel comes along across this worship gathering, and he looks at Saul and he says this: does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as he delights in the simple obedience of being deployed in the unique mission of God? He says to obey, to simply do, is far better than any other sacrifice or act of worship. And to heed, to take the steps, is far better than the fat of rams, than any song you could sing. It is time for you to be deployed in the unique mission that God has for you. There are opportunities all around you. There are opportunities in your church. This church is your church. This church will be as healthy and vibrant, faith-filled, filled with miraculous events as much as we believe and behave in the way that Jesus has called us to. Our city will change and be transformed. One house at a time. You know, God is waiting for Jesus people to rise up and see their blocks different, see their circles different, and for Jesus people to move off the sidelines and step in their unique design mission to be deployed. Honestly, I'm praying for awakening and revival in the city, and I pray that I preach better, but I want you to know at the heart of all this thing is I believe this. Revival's not going to come because preachers preach better. It's not going to come because worship people worship better. It's not going to come because churches do church better. It's going to happen when the people of God are deployed in the unique design and mission that God has for them, in their city, in their blocks, in their neighborhoods, in their schools, in their families. When we as the people of God move off the sideline of empty religion, God works miraculously. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Amen. Let's pray together. It's my practice during prayer time to give you a few moments of response. How is God? How is God speaking to you today? I'm not going to go back through the whole sermon. Hopefully you got a couple notes, but maybe circle something there. What's God wanting me to do right now? If you want to pray with someone, we're going to have some people up here that will pray with you. And like Tad's going to be right here. Tad, I have a couple other people join us. But if you need to pray with somebody, come down. Let's just take a moment. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for an opportunity to worship. I thank you for the opportunity to smile at friends. I pray in Jesus' name that you would captivate our hearts and captivate our hands. Father, I ask that you would stir among us a people who are deployed in your uniquely designed mission. Give us no patience with sitting on the sidelines. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would grow up a church here that lives this out. For our schools need it. Our schools need Jesus, people. Our streets need it. Our neighborhoods need it. Places of business need Jesus, people who are deployed. And I'm asking right now that you captivate some of us. Maybe one or two in this room. Not just our hearts, but our hands. And Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. A couple of things that I just want to share with you, some things that you can do. We're going to worship in a minute and sing a song together. At the end of that song, we're going to pass some baskets. And I want to encourage you to fill out. There's a card. It's a different card than normal. It's a group connection card. And I want you to fill it out. I want you to move from the sidelines and take a step in. Next week, we're going to talk about some opportunities to serve. There's some ways you can serve in the church. There's tons of ways to serve in our community, but there are some specific things that you can serve in the church. We'll talk about that next week as well. Let me just encourage you, take a step. If you want to talk to somebody, Tad's up here. You can talk to Tad a little bit. You can pray with him. You can even say, Tad, what do I do? And Tad will even give you a couple ideas, I'm sure. But don't be a satellite on your own. I'm not a good entertainer. This isn't about entertaining. We are the family of God, and we're striving to be that, and we would love to do that journey with you. And I think there's a place for you in his family. And so here's a couple other things. After the song and we pass that, I'm going to come back up, and I'm going to invite you to hang out and do lunch with us. We're going to have lunch. We do it once a month, and we call it family lunch. We're going to go down to the cafeteria, and you are more than welcome. You don't have to you need to sign up ahead of time, and you just need to come and hang out and meet some people and take some steps. We'd love for you to do that. But drop that card in. We'd love to encourage you to do that. So we're going to sing first and then pass the baskets, and I'll come back up.
Turn it in your favor. Watch him work it for your good. 'Cause he's not done with what he started. He's not done until it's good. Hello, peace. Hello, joy. Hello, love. Hello, strength. Hello, hope. It's a new horizon. Hello, peace. Hello, joy. Hello, love. Hello, strength. Hello, hope. It's a new horizon. So if you're ready for a breakthrough, just open up and just receive. Yeah. 'Cause what he's pouring out is nothing you've ever seen. Story, you are,
you are,
you are,
you are.
Heartbreak's not my home. You are,
you are,
you are,
you are.
Death is not the end, Jesus. You are,
you are,
you are.
Baskets, and we can drop those cards in there, and then I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to give us a couple other things. Jesus, we have come to this place this morning, and we have worshiped together. Some of us have put 2 feet down. We've kind of planted them in the middle of some hard places, some places that maybe all week we've been hearing the same message, that God doesn't change people anymore, and that God can't use me. And today we stood in this place of worship, and we that you are good. You are good in the face of everything that goes on around our little worlds and also the great, grand, big world. We We stood here in an act of faith and looked to heaven and said, God, you're good. We declare your goodness, and we will stand by faith until the very last breath that we have and declare your goodness. Father, second, we are making a determination here to be your people, to be your people in this day and this hour. We live in a world that is filled with great need, and that great need is met when a great God uses regular, everyday people deployed in their unique design. Father, so may you use some regular people like us in some extraordinary ways. We may not even see the fruit in this lifetime, but one day we will be gathered in eternity. And from that vantage point, I pray that we would see how a great and glorious supernatural God used someone as simple and broken as me in this world. And I pray that you would do it, Father. And I pray that one day we would sing for thousands of years over your goodness, God, and how you used us. Thank you for these moments. Thank you for these moments. In your name we pray. Amen. And say with me, God is good. And he's good when? All the time. Thank you, Mercedes. God is good. A couple of things as we close our service. I want to introduce you. This is Kristen over here on my right, your left. Kristen is in charge of helping us turn this back into a high school. So we only have about, well, I was going to say 30 minutes, but at this point we have about 20 minutes. Or so, if you have 20 minutes before we have lunch together and you would like to help tear down this room or some of the other rooms, I want you to see Kristen. She's going to be, are you going to be right out here in the hall? Or you're right there. So if you have a few minutes, it's also not only helpful, but let me tell you, it's a great way to meet people. Like sometimes it's uncomfortable to like meet somebody new, but it's a great way to kind of meet some. Some of us, this is the first way we really got engaged, was just helping out afterwards. So see her. And then at 11:30, we'll start lunch together. And it's in the cafeteria. It's if some of you saw where you check in kids, you go down to that level and you walk all the way to the end. And there's a cafeteria and we're going to be eating together. We're going to talk a little bit during that time about groups. I'll introduce some of the group leaders. And in fact, we're going to do a little bit of a kind of a raffle. Everybody that turned in a connection card today, a group connection card, we're going to pull from that and we're going to give away a few gifts. If that basket came by and you didn't get a chance to fill out that card, you still can do it. Fill it out. There's a little box over here that says offering or connection card. Just drop it in there, and we'd love to have that. Okay. That's it. Ready? Get deployed, man. Get deployed. Get out of here.
Heartbreak's not my home.
You are.
Death is not the end.
You are.
Fear is not my future.
You are.
Sickness not my story.
You are.
Heartbreak's not my home.
You are.
Death is not the end.
You are.